In today's gospel, God looks for the fruit of the kingdom from his people. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it's wonderful in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm sure many of you remember in school, somewhere along the line, reading some of Aesop's fables. Remember the Greek author Aesop, well known for these little moral stories he told, populated by all kinds of interesting characters. One of his fables is the story of a man who's talking with a lion, and they're discussing who's stronger, a man or a lion. And the man says to the lion, "Well, it's clear that a man is stronger than a lion." Lion says, "You're out of your mind. That's crazy." Man says, "Look, I'll prove it to you. Come with me." So the man leads the lion to this park. And in the middle of the park, there's a sculpture. And in the sculpture, it's a sculpture of a man astride a lion's back, pulling open the lion's jaws and turning the lion's head to kill the lion. The man says to the lion, "Look, that's the proof. A man is stronger than a lion." Lion says, "That doesn't count for anything." Man said, "Why not?" "Because," the lion said, "that sculpture was made by a man." You see the moral of the story, huh? What Aesop is trying to say: it's very easy for us, human beings, to create a reality we want rather than face the reality that is. If we don't like reality, create our own. If you don't like the fact that lions are stronger than men, make it look like men are stronger than lions. That's the moral of the story, that we can avoid reality by creating an imaginary reality. I think that's important for us to look at today in view of the gospel, because the gospel presents us today with an image of God that maybe we're not quite so comfortable with. Now, if I were to ask you today, how do you picture God? Many of us probably would say, well, he's loving, he's merciful, he cares for us, he gives us strength, he's going to give us eternal life. That's who God is, and that's true. That is who God is. But is that all God is? If you were to create a statue, so to speak, using Aesop's imagery of God, was that all you'd build into the statue? Love, mercy, patience, kindness? Or would, if you face reality as it is, you have to also build into that statue of God accountability? That he holds us responsible and accountable. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he's merciful to us. But he also holds us accountable and responsible. That's what today's parable in the gospel is all about. He gives us the vineyard, but he demands the fruit of the vineyard. He demands the produce of the vineyard. So he holds us accountable for the fruits of the kingdom. Remember some years ago now, there was a saying that became quite popular. You heard it all over the place. Maybe not so much today, but still around, I think. Saying is, God loves me just as I am. God loves me just as I am. Well, that's true. It is true. God loves us with all our faults and failings, even our sinfulness. But the question is this: does God love us too much to leave us just as we are? It's one thing to love us just as we are. Does he want us to stay just as we are? Those of you who are parents, you love your children, you love your child. You see your child going down the wrong path, making mistakes, making bad decisions. You don't stop loving your children, but you want them to stay there? You want them to stay doing those things? Of course not. Same thing with God, with us. He loves us just as we are, but does he want us to stay just as we are? Or does he hold us accountable, responsible to produce the fruits of the kingdom? So we might ask ourselves today, well, what fruits does God look for from me? What are these fruits of the kingdom he wants from me? We probably could mention many different things, but this morning I'd mention just two. I think one of the first fruits that God looks for from us, if we're producing this good fruit of the kingdom, is the fruit of thanksgiving. That we are first and foremost, before anything else, a thankful people. I think the first movement of the heart of any true disciple is one of thanksgiving. Gratefulness to God for all he gives us, all he's done for us, for the salvation that is ours. Thanksgiving, the fruit of thanksgiving. It's not easy for us in America today, you know, to be thankful. We're in competition all the time with everybody else for jobs, for best marks, for whatever. We're taught that we get what we deserve, we earn what we get. So if it's all the result of our effort, how can you be thankful? But that's a very limited way of looking at the world. And just look at this for a minute. Think about this. Most of us here this morning are enjoying this church, which we did not build. Somebody else built it. We're singing songs, hymns, that we did not write. We're being instructed by the Word of God in letters and gospels that we did not compose. And we're going to receive in communion Christ himself that we cannot earn. It's all gift. Are we thankful? We just take it for granted, think we deserve it. Or to bring it down to a more material level even, most of you got up this morning, or you're going to go home this noon, and you're going to eat food you did not grow, produced by an earth that you did not create, watered by a rain that you did not provide. It's all a gift. Are we thankful? Are we a thankful people? You know, maybe the way we know that, or have one sign of it anyway, is look at your prayer. When you pray, how do you pray? Your prayers most often something like this: "Oh Lord, oh God, I need this, I need that. Please do this for so-and-so. Please do that for so-and-so. Please give us this." Is that the way we pray? Or do we pray first, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you for all you've given me. Thank you for all you do for me. Thank you for giving me existence. Thank you." The fruit of thanksgiving is something I think the Lord looks for. Second thing I'd mention, a fruit that I think he looks for from us, is the fruit of witness. Do we witness to him appropriately? You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a priest friend of mine from another parish who was telling me how he'd gone into the first grade catechism class a couple of weeks ago, right after catechism started the first time. Little first graders, first time they were there, so he goes into the catechism class, and he says to the boys and girls, "Well, boys and girls, I'm so happy to see you. Maybe we could pray together. Let's make the sign of the cross." So one little kid, of course, little kids tend to be very honest, right? One little kid says, "What's the sign of the cross?" First grader now. Priest says, "Well, let's do it together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." 2/3 of the kids didn't know it, couldn't do it. First graders. How come? Their parents weren't doing it in the home. Parents weren't leading them in prayer, weren't helping them to grow in their appreciation of God. Witness to the faith. You know, some years ago, there was a very wonderful Broadway musical that became a movie entitled Into the Woods, Stephen Sondheim. And it tells the story of all these fairy tale characters, all of them. You know, Prince Charming, Cinderella, Snow White. They're all thrown together in this show. But in it, there's one song that's very powerful. Lyric goes like this: "Careful the things you say. Children will listen. Careful the things you do. Children will see and learn." That's true, of course, with children, but it's also true for all of us. People learn from us every day. They watch what you do. They see what you do. They see what you value. They see how you live. And from that, they learn something. The question is, are they learning something about God? Are you witnessing to the kingdom? St. Paul says it today, doesn't he, in the second reading? Whatever is beautiful, whatever is true, whatever is just, live these things, do these things. What's the witness that we give to one another? Do we give the fruit of witness for the kingdom? So as we gather today, we do. We rejoice in the love and mercy of God. But let's not forget that God also holds us accountable, responsible. Let's remember that someday the owner of the vineyard is going to come and ask you what fruits you have to give. Someday he's going to come and ask me, have I produced the fruits of the kingdom? We pray today that we might all be able to say, "Yes, Lord, here they are." May God bless you.